Good morning, church. So good to be here to worship together with all of you. I'm so excited this morning to be here to share God's word with all of you. And we are going to explore this wonderful passage from His word, from the book of John. The third I am being proclaimed by our Lord Jesus from John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. For those who was not here the past two Sundays, we are in the third week of our eight-week series from the Gospel of John, where our Lord Jesus identified Himself as the great I am. In the Gospel of John, John recorded eight occasions where Jesus proclaimed through this gospel to His people, He is the great I am, meaning that He is God Himself. The sermon title of this morning, I Am the Door, from John chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. I'll be using ESV, English Standard Version. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer and pray together with me, as I'd be able to speak clearly and proclaim the word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful word. As we all come before You this morning to find rest in You and to listen to Your word, O Lord, speak to us, O Lord, just like what we sang earlier. Speak to us, O Lord, so that we can transform more like Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can draw near to You, so that we can believe the life that we will be living, the life that is pleasing to You. Father, help us as we listen to Your word. Your word will speak forth clearly to us and will root it in our heart. And Father, open the eyes of our heart so that we may see, so that we may learn from You, Lord. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, please have your Bible open. I shall read from John chapter 10, verse 1 to 11. Hear then what the Holy Scriptures say. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. As strangers, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Friend, sister, we know that from Bible, our Lord Jesus always catch good opportunity to teach and proclaim the truth of God to the people. Here in chapter 10, actually driven from the incident in chapter 9, where our Lord Jesus healed a blind man who was blind from birth. Let us look at John chapter 9, verse 1 to 40. Although it's a bit long, let me read to you. You see, from chapter 9, as our Lord passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parent, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this thing, he spit on the ground and make mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went, the man went and washed and came back seeing. Please don't do this yourself, okay? Put the mud on someone's eyes. Only our Lords do this, especially for our younger one. Don't try to practice this at home. Yeah. So the neighbor and those who have seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some say, "It is he." Others say, "No, but just look like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they say to him, "How were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and watch.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Wow. And they were surprised and they said to him, "Where is this man? Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Because he was blind, right? So he cannot see. Even the mud put on him, he went to the river and washed it. So he never seen Jesus before. So they asked, "Who is this man?" So he have no idea, but he know his name. So they brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisee again asked him how he has received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I watch and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such sign?" And there was division among the Pharisees. So they say again to the blind man, What do you say about him? Since he has opened your eyes." So the blind man said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he has blind and has received his sign until they called the parent of the man who had received his sign and asked them. So they bring in the parent. They don't believe Jesus did that. "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he not see?" His parent answered, "We know that this is our son, but he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself." His parents say this thing because they fear the Jews. For the Jews has already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. This Pharisee already announced it. Who confessed Jesus was Christ, it will be kicked out from the synagogue. So they are so fearful. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." They really put the fear in the people of God. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. They say to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciple? Can you see that? This blind man actually stand up for Jesus before this Pharisee and speak of the truth. And they revile him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as of this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why this an amazing thing? You do not know where he comes from. And yet he opened my eyes. You are the Pharisee. You are the religious leader. You know the scripture. He performed the sign. He opened my eyes. And you say you know Moses. But he did this amazing thing. But yet you do not know where he comes from. We know that God does not, and this the religious leader continues to say in verse 31, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, does his will, God listen to him. So the blind man, and never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing, okay? So this is not from a Pharisee. This is from the blind man. He said, you say he is the sinner, but how can sinner perform such miracle, open the eyes of a man of blind? This blind man actually pretty good, huh? He will argue back to the Pharisee, and he will speak of the truth. How can you say he is a sinner? And he opened my eyes. He performed such miracle. So they got so angry at him, they answered him, you were born in outer sin. Would you teach us? Who are you to come and teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And the blind man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this thing and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have not guilty. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Can we see how hardened was and prideful and proud and arrogant and wicked of the heart of this Pharisee? Because of their hardened heart, they become too blind to come to Jesus and worship him. But our Lord was so patient. He continued to teach the truth of God to them by teaching them in a format that very easy to understand. Our Lord Jesus used the figure of speech that they can easily relate with. Like sheep, sheepfold, the door of the sheepfold, and the shepherd. The religious leaders pride themselves, know the scripture well, always using the traditional Hebrew word and traditional scripture wording, the big word, to speak to the people to show that how knowledgeable they are with the scripture. But yet they do not see God. But our Lord Jesus, with a simple story, simple words, speak to the people so people can understand. But his simple word, full of the God's theologies and doctrine in it. So he told them in figure of speech, John chapter 10, verse 1 to 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of stranger." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. It's so easy, you know. The one who entered by the door, to the door, to the sheep, is the shepherd. And the one who climbed into sheepfold is a thief and robber. And the shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd will lead the sheep. And the shepherd knows the sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And the sheep will follow the shepherd. It's just an everyday of the shepherd life in Israel. And Jesus used this figure of speech and address to this religious leader. And they do not understand what he's trying to say. Actually, Jesus is pointing to them the prophecy from the Old Testament to reveal his own identity. Because this Pharisee said in chapter 9, verse 28 to 29, "We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as of this man, we do not know where he comes from." What he's trying to say that? We are the disciple of Moses. What's that mean? Moses wrote the Torah. We are the disciple of Torah. We know the Lord of God. So Jesus said, you know the Lord of God, right? You know the scripture. Let me show you. Let me point you to the Old Testament. You love the Lord. You love the word of God, right? So, Jesus, but they don't understand what Jesus said. So Jesus proclaimed to them even more plainly in verse 7 to 11. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thief and robber, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep." Again, he repeats the same thing, but this time he proclaimed, "I am the door. And I am the door who come to save." So, you see, if they are truly the disciple of Moses, if they said they understand the word of God, they are the disciple of Torah of God, of scripture of God, they should obey the scripture from the prophet, right? Yes or no? So, when Jesus pointed this to them, let me show to you. In Micah chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, this is what God proclaimed. "I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like flock in its pasture. The place will torn with people." This is a prophecy of God. God said, "I will come. I will gather my people like sheep. I will be their shepherd." So God was prophesied this. If these religious leaders know the word of God, they should know what Jesus is trying to say. "I am that one. I am that one," was prophesied. And here verse 13 said, "The one who break open the way will go up before them." Jesus come and break open the way and go up before what? Before the sheep. and they will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Meaning that this shepherd, as king and as Lord, will lead the sheep out from oppression, out from the religious rule. Jesus speaks to them very plainly, but they don't understand. And again in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to 3, was prophesied this. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherd, thus say the Lord God, shepherd of Israel, who have been feeding yourself. Should not shepherd feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat one, but you do not feed the sheep. So what God is saying here, what Jesus is related here, the thief and the robber, you come into the sheepfold, you take the sheep, you slaughter them, you eat them, you feed yourself with them. You see, Jesus bring in the Old Testament to point it out to them. You say, you are the disciple of Moses, you should know this. What I'm trying to say to you, you killing the sheep, you are feeding from the sheep. You are the robber and the thief. Verse 11 to 15 from Ezekiel 35. For thus said the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of cloud and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the country, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountain of Israel by the Ravine and in all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain high of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good, grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountain of Israel. Verse 15. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declare the Lord God. How beautiful is that? Jesus using a very plain and simple story and proclaiming to them, I am what the prophecy said. I am God who come in to gather my people. I will be their shepherd. And I will be the door for them. That's why he proclaimed that. In John chapter 10, verse 2, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by door, but climb in by another way, that man is thief and a robber. But he who enter by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus saying to them, those who are thief and robber, by climbing in another way, but I am legit. I enter by the door. I come from God. I am the one prophesied by the prophet, because I am the door. God is the door. And I enter by that door because God the Father sent me. So I am legit. I am the shepherd. I am legitimately enter through the door because God is the door and I am the door. This is so beautiful. You can see the doctrine of Trinity is here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. So don't think that how can Jesus be the door and shepherd at the same time, because they are one. You say, I am the door. God is the door. And I enter through the door. I come, sent by the Father. It is so beautiful and so profound. You see, Jesus is proclaiming to them so clearly. He is the door to his people. He is the good shepherd, the king, and the Lord in Micah chapter 2, who will lead his people out. Can you see the connection here? Jesus is the coming one. He is the king, the Lord, God himself. Jesus is the prophecy fulfilled. These religious leaders were very well thinking that they were very well versed with the scripture, well educated, but they are so blind to see Jesus is the Messiah and God. But the born blind man, in verse 38, he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? Brother and sister, for those who pride themselves know the scripture. For you who pride yourself know this scripture well. Please do not be full of pride and truly come to God and truly know him with a childlike faith. There is no benefit to you by knowing the scripture yet do not know Christ. There is no benefit to you to pride yourself, speak eloquently, and really know the word of God, but yet never come to him and so blind to see. For those who think you see, but yet you're so blind if you do not know Jesus. And you do not live and submit and obey to his word. Let us humble ourselves. The more we know about the word of God, the more we should humble before him. How little we know. The more we should seek after him. Lord, speak to me. Humble my heart. Make me like you. Let me come to you every day and know you and do your will, but not pride ourselves. Look, I know so well. But yet, you are so blind to see. Here we continue. We see Jesus was so patient to the stubborn religious leader. He continued to extend his invitation to them. Now, come to me. Enter through this door. He used the word door because he knows they need the door. And you will be saved and you will have abundant life. I am the door that you should enter. It is amazing to see how patient and loving our Lord Jesus was. The religion leader were actually plotting and planning to kill Jesus. But Jesus knew the heart, but he still extended his invitation to them. I am the door. Come to me. Come to me and you will be safe. You will be in and out and find good pasture. This is amazing to see the love and the patience of our Lord. So, when Jesus called himself the door, what is he really trying to tell the Pharisee? What is he trying to tell the people or to us today? First, we can see that he is telling us in verse 7. He is the door of the sheep. What is the function of the door of the sheepfold? To protect the sheep from outsiders enter into the sheepfold to harm them. You see, Jesus is claiming that he is the door to protect the sheep and give the sheep a restful and secure place where harm will not come to them. Very often we take it for granted of door. I believe there's door in your house everywhere outside your room, right? Can you imagine your house have no door? I don't think you will sleep well if your house has no door. Some of us live in a place, we have door, we have gate, we have security guard, and then you have layer and layer security. So we feel safe. And Jesus said, I am the door, and you are my sheep, and I will protect you, and I will keep you safe. You come to me. So, dear friend, what is your fear today? What is your insecurity, your worry, your anxiety today? Jesus said, I am the door. Come to me. Come through the door, and you will be protected, and you will find rest in me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus told us, come to me, all you who are worried and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the door for his sheep. If you are his sheep, he will protect us and he will grant us rest. The question are that, will you come to him and walk through the door today? Or you just wanted to stand there and watch from outside? You can be protected. You cannot be protected and find rest by wandering outside the door, or admiring the door, or just having knowledge of the door. Can you? Just looking at the door, wow, it's so good, it's so nice, but you never enter into it. You come to church every Sunday, you listen to the sermon, you're so excited, and you feel convicted, but you never walk through the door, you never come to Jesus. Brother and sister, today, Jesus is inviting you, come. Come. He wants to be the door for you, to protect you, and to give you rest and a secure place in his sheepfold. Do not wander outside the door anymore. Come to him today. Jesus is calling to you. And as we continue to see verse 3 to 5, we see that the shepherd gathering his sheep by calling them, and the sheep know his voice and follow him. Today, we do not live in the world of shepherding, but what Jesus is saying in verse 3 to 4, we never see how shepherding being done like the old days, you see. But in the old day, all Israelites know how shepherd work was. The sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him when he calls. This is how we can know if we are Jesus' sheep. Are you Jesus' sheep? Do you hear the voice of Jesus and follow him? In John chapter 9, the blind man heard the voice of Jesus. Follow what Jesus said and do it. And he was healed and he worshiped Jesus. The Pharisee and the Jewish leader are not listening to the voice of Jesus and they are not following him. How about you today? Do you know the voice of Jesus, or will you follow the voice of stranger? This should cause us to seriously question ourselves. If we truly listen to the voice of Jesus and follow only him, do you know his teaching? Do you read his word? Do you do exactly what he says? As sheep, we must learn to listen to the voice of the shepherd. We must learn to listen to the voice of God. How? I always hear from our brother and sister asking, Pastor, how to hear God's voice? I usually will tell them, actually, it's very easy. Pray and read the word of God. Pray and read and pray and read. And come to Bible study. Join the CG. Join the Bible study. You see, you will say, they will tell me, I did that, you know, 1 week, and I still didn't hear. Press on. I press on like Jacob told the Lord, I will not let go until you bless me. Every time you come to read the word and you still didn't hear from God, you press on like Jacob wrestled with the angel. I will not let go until I can hear from you. Indeed, brother and sister, nothing is sweeter than the day when you finally hear from God. When you read His word, He speaks to you. When you pray to Him, you hear Him. And whenever you seek Him, you find Him. It is the most wonderful and sweetest thing. I remember when I was a younger believer, I have the same desire. I want to hear from you, God. I read the Bible and I saw, wow, David said, it is so sweet to read your word, you know. And it is so sweet to be in your presence. It is so sweet to hear from you. It is so good to be with you. And I was a young believer. I said, what is that? How come I do not experience that? I do not know that so much of it. I just have a little bit of it. So I prayed to God. I said, Lord, whatever David have, I want it. Whatever Paul talk about, I want it. I want all this thing. I want to know you. I want to know, I experience such sweetness with you. I want to experience such wonderful thing when I'm in your presence. So I was on my knee and I pray to God as I read His word. Press on. And I somehow come to the part where Jacob was wrestled with angel. I tell myself, I want to wrestle with God until you bless me, until I can hear from you. And that one day I remember so sweet when I read His word and I understand. And I was so happy. I called my CG leader. I said, I can hear God speak to me. And my CG leader, what did you hear? Come to my place and talk to me. That is the most fantastic moment of my life. And after that, I no longer desire to read other books but this one book. And I cannot exalt myself finish reading it. It's too marvelous. Every time I read it, something new. Every time I read it, something amazing revealed to me. Brother and sister, I want you to experience this too, to hear God's voice. You see, our Lord Jesus is a good shepherd. He called His own sheep by name. He wants you to know His voice. Jesus knows you and is calling you by name to follow Him. But do you know His voice? And do you hear Him and follow Him? We notice in verse 6, the religious leader do not know what Jesus is saying. Jesus was make a glorious illustration and point them to the Old Testament. They said they know the word of God, yet they cannot hear Jesus. And they did not follow Him. So, brother and sister, when you read the word of God, don't read it for the sake of knowledge only. Read it and seek Him. Many a brother and sister come to me, when I read the word of God, I need to have two commentary, I'm reading together, so I can understand fully. I say, you totally missed the point. When you read it, you should seek Him and listen to Him. Because you can understand the word by reading commentary and the other person interpret for you, but if you don't seek Him, you won't be able to listen to Him personally. So today, I want to pray for you. I pray for you to commit yourself to read His word, to press on until you hear from Him, and submit yourself to follow Him by obeying His word and listen to Him. I pray this commitment you make this morning, as you make it now, I hope you do, will seal and root in your heart. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, you will hear Jesus' voice and follow him. Amen. You see, we also see Jesus told us in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Dear church, can you imagine yourself living in this fallen and hopeless world without having the hope of what is to come? Without the hope to know God and have eternal life with God. Can you imagine that? How would that life is like? Without the hope to escape from the wrath of God, without the hope to break free of from your sin, and without the hope to be saved from hell. Can you imagine you live that life? A lot of us not aware of it. You know, it's actually like a bird being captured and put in the cage. The door is locked and there's no way out. Can you imagine you yourself like that bird in the cage? There's no door. No door for you to get out. You are like there inside the cage. Yes, you have food. You have water. And sometimes your owner will bring you out under the sun a little bit, play with you. You sing a song for him. But you have no door out. You're captured in that cage. Many of us actually like bird in the cage. We are in the cage of this dark world without light and without hope. We could not save ourselves and we could not break ourselves free from that cage. But Jesus came to us as the door. He opened for us the door from hopelessness to forever hope and joy. Jesus is God come in human form and lay down his life to die for us on that cross. He tear open the darkness and be the door for us to get out of darkness and come to light and bring us out. That is what Micah 2 prophesies. He will break us free. He will break us out from the door. He opened the door from the darkness and lead us out from the darkness. When we enter through the door that Jesus have given us, which is himself, we are set free from death to eternal life. We are being lifted from hopelessness as slave of sin to the glorious place seated at the table with the Son of God. We are being removed from the wrath of God and adopted by God as his children. How wonderful is that when Jesus told us, I am the door. So do you see now, when Jesus said, I am the door, it is so powerful, it is so profound. The door that protects you, the door that opens to break you free, and the door that brings you come to God. He is that amazing door that saves everyone who comes to him. Your friends, are you today feel like being locked up in a place where there's no way out? Are you stuck in the pain of sin where you cannot get out? Are you fearful of not knowing what's going to happen to you if you pass on from this world? Today, Jesus is telling you, I am the door. He is telling you that he is God. He is the door of hope for you. Come to him, enter through the door, and you will be saved. Saved from hopelessness, saved from sin, saved from darkness of this fallen world, saved from eternal death, saved from hell. And ultimately, save from the wrath of God. Would you come to him today? Finally, Jesus told us that when you come to him, when you come through this door, you will be his. The sheep in his flock will be led to find green pasture and have life abundantly. You see, enter by the door, will become the sheep of Jesus. He will be our shepherd. Not only he is our shepherd, he is the good shepherd. And a sheep without shepherd, what happened to the sheep? The sheep will be lost. The sheep will face dangers. The sheep cannot fend for themselves. The sheep do not know where the food and where the water is. But the sheep with shepherd can relax and be guarded, protected, and feel safe under the care and love of the shepherd. The shepherd will lead them to green pasture and water. The shepherd will protect them from the wild animal. The shepherd will lead them and guide them to a safe place. When we come to Christ, when we enter by Him to the kingdom of God, we will live a life of abundance with God. For those who go through the door, believe in Christ, we can come to God directly. Because Jesus' death on the cross has torn open the veil to the Holy of Holies. Jesus has become the bridge for us to come to God the Father. When God the Father sees us, He sees His Son, Jesus, on us. We can come to God in prayer now without any hindrances. You don't need third person to come to before God to pray. You can go straight to God the Father and ask and pray and worship Him. And our God will listen to you and care for you and love you as His child. There's no more fear for us when we go out to this fallen world, because whoever come in through the door will gain strength and help in order to be out there in the world. We are safe under His watch. And we are blessed by Him. And we will have His strength to live in this fallen world. When the world look at Christian, it is very hard for them to understand why. They will ask, why when you are so sick, yet you are still full of hope and peace? Recently, I just visited two of our sisters who were just diagnosed cancer. Recently, when I talk to them, they're full of hope and they're full of peace. There is a little anxious, but yet they are full of peace in them. Why? Why as such? You know, the non-believer will not understand. Because they enter through the door. Because they have God in their life. Because they are with God and they know they have eternal hope in Christ. This world is just a temporal place for them. This world, this life will end, but eternal life will last forever in Christ. The world will look at Christians. Why when you are going to passing from this world, when you are going to depart from this world, those people are going to die, okay? And yet, they are saying, praise the Lord, I'm going home. Only Christians say that, okay? Why a Christian will share love with others without expecting any return? The non-Christian will not understand it. Why a Christian would give up lucrative career and lifestyle and go to the end of the world to share the gospel, yet they are still full of joy? The world will not understand it. You see, the world does not understand when we believe in Jesus. By enter through the door, we have received life and have it abundantly. How can one not be joyful when the Creator of the heaven and earth is with you and in you? He's your father, and you are his child. Is there anything better than that? The Creator God of heaven and earth is with you. Is there anything is more abundant than that in our life? Is there anything can compare with having God? I remember when I shared the gospel with an uncle, and he said, if I come to know Jesus, what can I have? I said, you have God. And he said to me, that's all? You have God. And he said, that's all? And when I shared the gospel in the hospital with someone with a liver cancer, is about to pass on, he said, I would like to pray for you, and so that you can come to know God and have God in your life. He said, no, don't pray for me that. Pray for me, I'm going to have $1 million. I said, are you serious? People can be so blind, and they cannot see God. But though, for those who see God and go through the door, you know, there is abundant life because God is with you. Today, for those who have not yet come to Jesus, Jesus is saying to you, I am the door. Come and enter to the kingdom through me. Dear friend, there's no other door will protect and care for you like God himself. There's no other door in this world can save but Jesus alone. And there's no other door provide abundant life to you but Jesus Christ. For young people, please listen carefully. Don't enter into those doors that seem fun and entertaining. Those doors your friends enter to enjoy their sinful life. Those doors will eventually lead to life without God and toward hell and death. The only door that will give you true joy and meaningful life is the door of Jesus Christ. Come to him and don't turn away from his invitation today. Come, he's extending invitation to you today by telling you, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be safe. Would you come and respond to his invitation? This morning, for us who enter through the door, let us not take it for granted. Let us with grateful heart surrender ourselves as living sacrifice, as an act of worship to our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. For he has come to us to be the door to protect us, guard us, keep us from harm, and give us rest. For he has come to us to be the door to break us free by open a way out for us to come out from the darkness to light, from death to life, from hopelessness to joy, to have eternal life in him. For he has come to us by laying down his life for us to be the door, so that we can come to God the Father to have life and have it abundantly. By being blessed with all the heavenly blessing, to become his children, to love by him, to have eternal home in heaven, and to be the heir together with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not take all this for granted. Let us always hear the voice of our Lord Jesus, obey him and follow him. Jesus said, I am the door. Today I hope you understand the profoundness of that door, what he has done for us. Without that door, we are captured without hope. But that door gives us hope. That door brings us peace, and that door brings us abundant life. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who were worried and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear brother and sister, and those dear friend here, you still do not know Jesus, come to him. Let's yoke together with Jesus and find rest of our soul in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for being the door for us to bring us peace, to bring us rest, to bring us protection and security in this fallen world, to give us hope, to break us free from the darkness, from the hopeless world, and to be the door to lead us to abundant life. Father, I want to thank you for this simple term, the door. It is so profound and it's so wonderful and beautiful. We want to praise you and we want to surrender the rest of our life as a living sacrifice for you, for you are so good to us. And we are so blessed that we found this door. For some of us here still do not enter through the door. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit will regenerate them, will speak to them so that they will come to you and walk through that door and be blessed by you. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen. Amen.